Welcome back to Total Spot Fest. This is JJ. That is Jamie. We are coming back at you. A little bit of news been going on the past week of the wrestling world. just a little bit. We had a pay-per-view go on. We had some fireworks shortly thereafter. Internet being a Twitter, and even some interesting things happening across the pond and on TV last night. A lot of stuff to get to.
It's a little crazy.
It's a little crazy. Sometimes wrestling world is fun. Sometimes wrestling world is maddening. And sometimes it's a little bit of both. And we're in a little bit of a both right now. So thank you guys for watching. Thank you for listening, giving us some of your time. As I always like to say, we do truly appreciate it. If you want to hop in the conversation, drop a comment down below on YouTube. Hit us up on Twitter at Total Spot Fest. Oh, Jamie, man. We had All Out, and you ended up getting to watch most of it, I know. So how was your weekend otherwise?
I did. Interesting, you know, since there was the wedding and everything. And so Megan went to the bridal shower and got COVID, and now Jen has COVID.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so this is fun. I've been trying to avoid them like the plague.
At the bridal shower. That. Oh my God. They didn't know by the way. So
Went to Hamburger Mary's. They went to Hamburger Mary's, and somebody, I don't know if anybody had it or was a carrier or whatever, but whatever happens. They got it. First time that has actually gotten to our house since
official
2020.
Official. Yeah, 2020. I believe you had it at the start.
Yes, like the day we shut down work, I think I had it.
You were really bad off, so I think you had it too, but that's before we had tests and things to know about it.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. God, man. Just as a reminder, folks, COVID still exists out there. Hopefully everybody's got their shots and boosters, but be careful. You know, let's be a little sanitary. Let's, social distance.
For all of us.
Seriously. Oh my God! My weekend was so much less chill than that. I've just kind of taken it easy. Found out I have a pain that's been going on. It's been really bad sciatica, so that's been fun. I know you had that before. Every once in a while, I stand up and it feels like my one leg is just dead and I can't walk. And then after about 5 minutes, it gets better. And then, Yeah, my fat ass trying to do yoga and everything like that. So I didn't watch as much wrestling as I thought I was going to, though.
Just because there was two things.
There was so much. There was, Clash at the Castle WWE had, which all accounts were it was a pretty banger show.
Yeah,
I didn't watch any of it though.
I got to watch some of it. It was solid. It was really. I mean, there were some great ass matches.
They've been coming back. I've been catching some matches here and there on Raw a little bit, and I honest to God, Mike, I'm probably going to watch Survivor Series this year. I think I will. I think I'm going to give it a whirl. You know,
I think I'm going to do the same. And
I never canceled my Peacock, so I might as well, right?
mine's canceled. Mine's okay. Super canceled.
Good for you. I'll give you a login. Don't worry about it. And then GCW, everything was All Out weekend. So a bunch of stuff going on All Out weekend. GCW had bangers of a show. Four cup stuff. I said three cups last time. It was four cup stuffed. Our War Games 2, the biggest Big Gay Brunch. I mean, a lot of stuff going on. And I was incorrect. Mm-hmm. The whole Moxley versus Nick Gage thing is actually at their next coming show next month. So, mea culpa. Sorry about that. But there still was a bunch of bonkersness that happened. Like Alice Colon and John Wayne and Murdoch winning the tag titles in the War Games match and celebrating in the ER as Alice Colon who's got so jacked up, had to go to the ER.
I mean, that sounds like Alex Colon.
That sounds like Alex Colon. If you don't know who we're talking about, Google him. Deathmatch God, he's so good. We got to see him in a deathmatch.
We did against Jake Christ.
Yep. It was a was it, a light tubes and scaffold match.
Yeah, it was.
It was fun. It was so much fun.
It was something.
Our good friend Nick Chin, Big Dick Nick, found out the hard way that when you referee, death matches to wear long sleeves underneath. Because he cut his arm up bad just counting. Anyway, tons of wrestling going on, and we're going to get to the big news, the big story, of course, you know, we're going to coming up here in just a second. But I do want to talk briefly about our little ongoing championship pick challenge that we have. Now,
it's a little thing.
Just a little thing. It's a little thing. You can probably guess what position JJ ended up in just on my tone. Unfortunately, our good friend Chris, he actually was on vacation this past week, so he'll get involved in some one of the latter ones, but he didn't go. So just myself, Jamie, and Megan, as always. Now, there was a lot of matches, and we even missed a match because there was a match announced late on Friday after Dynamite that was added in Ruby Soho, Ruby, and Ortiz going against Sammy and Tay for the AAA mixed tag title. So we didn't even pick all the matches, but there was a ton. So there's four on the buy-in. From the buy-in, Jamie and I both missed the All Atlantic title. We got the other ones right. Hook retained the FTW title. Eddie Kingston beat Tomohiro Ishii. Megan had a perfect card on the buy-in, or whatever they're calling it now. They called it
something. 0 hour.
That's okay. Sure. Yeah. Whatever. What was wrong with the buy-in? I mean, I know that maybe is more of a Double or Nothing thing, because Double or Nothing is casino themed, but
yeah.
0 hour. What the?
I don't know. I kind of like it.
I think they used 0 hour for Ring of Honor.
Death Before Dishonor.
Right. So they used 0 hour as the instead of buy-in. But then again, we need to differentiate this. And that's a whole other thing we'll get into. But the actual programming had a total of 11 matches on the card. It was a long, it was a solid 4 hour show, you know. So not as long as I thought, really. and you know, I'm not going to go through all of them, but you know, Jade Cargill retained her title against Athena. No. Yeah. Serving the Glory retained against the Acclaimed, and my God, boom. was the building behind the Acclaimed. Oh my God! Biggest pop of the night by far.
Yeah. Whoa, scissor me, daddy.
on the ladder match, the Joker was a surprise masked man, and Stokely Hathaway and crew came out and jumped everybody before the Joker came out, stole the chip, handed it to him. Joker won, and Toni Storm she became interim women's champion. You know,
so shocked.
Yeah, Chris Jericho won by shady measures against Bryan Danielson. Miro, Sting, and Darby beat the House of Black. And CM Punk did indeed beat Jon Moxley to become the new AEW champion. Put a pin there. Mm-hmm. And at the end of it, it was all revealed that MJF was the Joker, and it was perfect. And my God, people blew up for him too. Came down to it, JJ didn't pick very well at all. Let's just say that. No. I was eliminated halfway through this pay-per-view, but so I was out. So it came down to Megan and Jamie. And because of there are several matches that we all had the same. And CM Punk, Jon Moxley, we had the same. The one before it would determine if Megan... a couple before it was going to be... It's Jungle Boy versus Christian. Because... she was running away with this thing, and Jamie made a slight comeback. And if Jungle Boy would have won, it would have signified, because of what happened at the House of Black match, that we would have ended up getting a tie. But did not happen. Christian won in a very scripted short match where Luchasaurus turned on Jungle Boy again. And yes, Megan retakes the title as the champion.
He's back.
Much to my chagrin, let me just say.
You know, but the FWO still holds the title. It feels great.
You feel fine with that. You, as you see, no more belt on us, though. It's gone. So
Megan is gone.
Megan is the belt holder. It's still in your house physically. I'm going to get it out of your house, even if I have to break into. I'm going to wait till you go on softball trip and break into your house and steal the damn thing.
Hey, I'm going to Colorado in June of next year for a week.
Oh, June. Okay, thank you. I was thinking like, you know, Bound for Glory in October time. And you're like, no, June.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Whatever. Bound for Glory is
travel.
Bound for Glory is the next big one, is Impact's next biggest show, which, by the way, it's looking to be a solid show. Masha's challenging for the Jordynne Grace for the women's title, which
I hope she wins it.
That alone I want to see. Masha's still undefeated. I mean, she has just been on a tear. So good. Oh my God. We love Masha and other great stuff. We'll talk more about that coming up here. But one last note here. I know we want to do our spotlight, but Journey Pro, our favorite local promotion, as many of you know, we mentioned last time, announced that they're going to have their new two shows going on in September. So the first is going to be, and they're not going to release any details because it's going to be a daytime show free September 17th at the Edwardsville Fall Festival. There's no matches. It's not in the ethos, if you would, of Journey Pro. So that's happening. But they did announce more details and the first match on the show on the 30th. Jamie, why don't you go ahead and let everybody know what that is?
Yeah. So Journey Pro so far, as of right now, has only announced one match on the 30th at Wild Thing in Edwardsville, Kansas. So no more Missouri Athletic Commission for the show. Very excited for them.
It's the same place they had all our shows or secret shows last year.
Yeah. So it's a great venue. It's a fun venue for sure. But Journey Pro announced Gary J, the new Papa Bear, Gary J.
Congratulations, Gary.
Going against none other than Sam Beal from Impact Wrestling fame, who's been on there quite a few times and been on our show.
Friend of the show, indeed.
Both of them have.
Yes, indeed. And
to which I messaged out. I tweeted out.
You poked the bear pretty good as soon as that announcement happened.
Yeah, I mean, because one thing that we did learn about Sam is he is a huge Tigers fan. He's a Detroit guy. So I was like, man, your chest is going to get more beat up than the Tigers do. and then to which he replies, I hate you. And I go, well, like, we're Royals fans, man. Like, it's not that much better. Actually, it's a half game better. Used to grind it just a little bit in there. But yeah, so that's your match that has been announced thus far.
Tickets are on sale currently, so
and they have kid tickets, which I'm very excited about.
That's good. Are you gonna bring the girls?
Audrey wants to come if Heidi's gonna be there, and the Howlets. Megan, I think she wants to go.
Hasn't been announced, but the Howlets had a challenge for the Reckoning at the 30th. Yeah. So
yeah. So
okay. Well, cool. So come check if you're not doing anything on the 30th end of the month. Come check us out. It's a softball field is where it's at. That's why it's called Wild Thing. You know, for those of you not picking up what we're putting down there, it's a lot of fun. It's a great venue to have it at. Good times for sure. Now, once again, before we get into talking about the big pieces of the week, we do like to turn that spotlight around and like to shine it on some of the independent talent. Maybe you've seen them. Maybe you haven't. Jamie, do you have somebody prepared for our independent wrestler spotlight of the week?
I do. I really do. So this one, actually, I will have to give 100% credit to our recently interviewed Darian Bankston. Got me going down the rabbit hole of looking out this person. And she's phenomenal. She was just recently in Chicago for GCW. She faced against Ashton Starr, had some big matches. She's got a match actually coming up against our good friend Heidi Howitzer here shortly. Very excited about that bad boy. I'm talking about none other than Sandra Moon, ladies and gentlemen. Wow, this girl can go. She is phenomenal.
Absolutely. Seen several of her matches. I've seen her quite a bit. I know Effie's put heads of her matches on Monday Night Raw on his Twitch channel. And she's
and a worker. Like, just think about this, too. September 17th, in 10 days, she's got a match against none other than Maki Ito!
Maki Ito!
And speaking of Maki Ito, before we get to close this loop,
did you
she has her own.
I was going to say, did you hop on her OnlyFans yet?
like so, I don't subscribe to that.
Your wife would definitely kill you.
Tavares, but like that one causes pause. No, but seriously, like I thought that was kind of funny.
Jamie's trying to guilt me into it so that he can, like, you know, hey, yeah, just like just pull up your phone and turn it around. Oh, I happened to,
yeah.
I glanced.
But so like she's had killer matches. She was at the Big Gay Brunch. She has just been everywhere. Sandra Moon is amazing. Like, people give her a follow on Instagram. She's on Instagram and she's on Twitter, of course. Solid Twitter follow. You can follow her at Sandra Moon Pie. And Moon is spelled M-O-O-N-E. So just make sure to get that. Sandra Moon Pie at Sandra Moon Pie.
Very good, very good. Love to see her in Journey Pro, Chris. excuse me,
make
sorry about that.
That happened.
Definitely, you know, I've seen several of her matches and very good, very good. There's
a star.
You know, we made this talk that, you know, it seems like there's a lot less women out there, but there is a lot of women that are in wrestling, and a lot of them very talented, and she is absolutely one of those near the tops. So very good. Very good indie spotlight.
Thank you.
Why not? Well, you want to stop being around the bush and get to it?
Yeah. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, I feel like this is a good spot for us to not necessarily change our format, but like, I feel
mix it up a
like
little.
I'm compelled. I am compelled to talk about everything that's been going on in AEW, because good God, there's a lot. And then, like, we can still talk about Dynamite, because Dynamite actually was pretty solid. But I want to get into the stuff that happened after All Out to get to that.
Let's do it. Let's get into it, because that's what everybody. I mean, that's what everybody's talking about since Sunday night.
So technically, we're late to the party, but we're really not late to the party because Wednesday, there's a lot of ramifications that happened at Dynamite, you know. But let's just talk about the biggest elephant in the room, and that's the whole CM Punk Elite kerfuffle. So as many of you know, there are reports flying left and right. Some people say the Bucks kicked down the door. Some say that didn't happen whatsoever. There's just a whole lot of misrepresentation going on right now, so it's kind of hard to actually speak on it, other than the fact that this should have never fucking happened. That's my stance. There was zero reason for CM Punk to bring that up on the media scrum. I can't stand it. I have read the word scrum, seen the word scrum more than I've ever seen it my whole entire life. And I'm over it already. But
there's no reason to bring up Colt Cabana. Well, and the whole thing was him. Like,
yeah.
No. And did you watch? I watched the whole thing live, and it was watching a train wreck in person. It was literally like that. You know, 17 car pileup happened right in the lane next to you, and you see it in slow motion. That's what it was.
Tony's face said it all.
He sits down, and you can tell he's in kind of an agitated mood a little bit from the start. Whatever, yeah. Right? But then somebody stands and goes, oh, he looks over there and he sees the guy from Wrestling Inc. who's buddies or was like, you know, like a comedy partner or I think he did like a
improv
or some sort of a comedy podcast. Colt Cabana has like 18 podcasts, right? Or did.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he sees the dude from Wrestling Inc. that is buddies with him, and that just sets him off. And he starts going into it. He starts going into the Bucks hard and the leaks and all this stuff. And Tony's sitting there just like, what the fuck are you doing? You can see his brain is just like melting, like, oh my God, this is a PR nightmare. He dives deep into the whole Colt Cabana thing. He goes hard, hard, hard on Adam Page.
Yeah.
Gives love to Adam Cole and then keeps doubling down while he's eating his goddamn muffins and drinking sparkling water, just spewing vomit. And it was tough to watch, honestly. It was real tough to watch.
You know, and this brings me to probably my biggest thing. I was just like everybody else and super excited for CM Punk to come back. You could watch our previous ones. I was one of the first guys to stand up and like, this is amazing. He was so good on the mic. All these good things.
Mm-hmm.
And then you hear these things that have been coming out literally for the past 2.5-3 months, like basically right before he got his title shot and got his title, like he started getting sour. And like all these reports are coming out and it's like, oh, you know, whatever. I'm not believing it. Then this happens. I know he's a draw, and he knows he's a draw. That's his biggest problem, is he knows he knows his shit sells seats, so he thinks he can get away with anything. Well, guess what, man? They got other people. MJF can easily take that spot, and I understand MJF has got his own diva issues himself, as we saw in his promo last night. Like, dude, I would much rather have that than what happened. Like, literally lashing out at the people who pay your fucking checks like that. You don't shit where you eat, man. Like, I know MJF does it, but he does it in character. Like, that was straight out of character. That
was this is a shoot, 100%.
Bill being venomous. And Triple H is probably sitting back like, I told you all this is going to happen.
And in my head, I had two thoughts there. One of them was like, well, Jamie, you did want heel Punk. I got him. The other thought is, remember when all the rumors were started and what my initial reaction was to everything CM Punk related?
Yeah, you're like, eh, I don't care.
Do you remember why I said I don't care?
Because you didn't really like him? Or you didn't...
I didn't like him. Yeah. I didn't believe that he would stick. And I said, this is the same guy that took his ball and ran away because he didn't get what he wanted from WWE. He didn't get put on the pedestal that he thought he should have been on. And from all accounts, that's kind of the way his ROH thing ended, because he was just using them to lobby for a bigger paycheck to get into WWE. And I came around and I was like, all right, I'm in on this. A new Punk's been 7 years. I'm going to give it to him. But if somebody shows you who they are, believe them. I can't remember what that's from, but yeah.
Looks like a frog, jumps like a frog.
And at some point in time, this all happened in WWE, right? The pipe bomb, all the stuff, the promos with Triple H, promos with Cena, you know, all that stuff and everything like this. And here we go again on our own, right? At some point in time, you gotta look and be like, well, the problems might be you, you know?
Yeah, like, I don't know anymore. Like, from all accounts, they say the Bucks are some of the nicest guys in the back. You know, they're very caring.
Yeah.
They give a shit about everybody. And they're not super confrontational. Like, for them to be that upset, and literally, CM Punk said, if you have a problem with it, my locker room's always open. They went to his locker room. Their account was he wasn't answering. The other account was they kicked down the door, which I feel like there's some truth to both of them. Like, they probably pushed their way in because CM Punk wasn't going to talk to him. And then Punk just started swinging. And then Ace Steel freaking
threw a chair.
Hit Nick. Yeah, Nick in the face. And like, there's reports that Omega is trying to get Larry out of the way so Larry didn't get hurt, because Larry's going apeshit too. And then he was trying to separate Ace Steel and Nick, and ends up getting his hair pulled and bit by Ace Steel, which okay.
That's so my favorite part about all this. He's trying to save the dog and he gets bit. Now, we don't know if any of this is true, by the way.
Yeah, like, this is, again, 100%.
There's going to be no Zapruder film. Cutler, I'm sure, was not there filming that.
Oh, no. But there are reports that the chief lawyer, like the chief
the chief legal officer.
Legal officer
was like there. She was like, she was like strolling by or something as this happened. And it's like,
Yeah. So, you know, and then there, so the big thing for me on this, like one of the biggest things on Ace Steel, I do want to talk about Ace Steel.
Okay.
All accounts, Ace Steel's a good dude.
We know a lot of people local, because Ace Steel's got tons of local ties here, right?
Yeah, you know? He was in the NWL, like, you know.
Strider runs, you know, Central.
CSW.
Thank you. I can't remember the middle.
And he's really good friends with Jeremy Wyatt.
Good friends with Jeremy Wyatt. Good friends with other people as well, you know, around, you know, everybody from NWL, right? I think, yeah, very, very strong ties.
So my thing is this. If your friend starts shit, as a friend, you're in the shit with them.
You are.
Like, right. That's the thing. Like everybody's got that friend. Everybody had that friend in college.
Oh, yeah.
Hell, I was that friend in high school. You know, it's like one of those things. Like, I'd run off at the mouth, and next thing you know, we're boxing, guys. Like, sorry. You know, like, that's what happened here, you know? Yep. And he stuck up for his friend. Did he go a little bit too far and throw in a fucking chair? Maybe, but the thing is, like,
maybe
the entire world now is getting introduced to Ace Steel as this villain, okay? And he's more than that, and I want people to hopefully hear that. I know it's hard, and our current climate and our current culture is definitely guilty first, guilty second, guilty third, and then maybe innocent. And I understand that's our culture now. And it's one of those things, like, he is guilty. He's dead. He's canceled. He's gone. More than likely. He's going to be gone from AEW, which is probably not a bad thing. But I hope people can also know he's a human and he stuck up for his friend.
Right.
Like, I'm not validating what he did. Hopefully everybody gets
that. These are Chicago kids that grew up in Chicago. They didn't grow up in Arlington Heights or Wilmette, right? In the, you know, ritzy part of Chicago. They grew up in Chicago. Chicago's a tough town. And hey, you know, sometimes you get that bitterness in you. Even if you didn't grow up in the middle of the ghetto or the roughest part of the town or whatever, you still have that where you're from about you, right? And generally, people from Chicago are like that. You know, that's just like, you know, you mess with me and my boys, you're going to get it. Eddie Kingston's the same way, right? He's got that New Yorker in him. You mess with him, he's going to come correct. He's going to come with, you know, chain and bat in hand, and he's gonna, let's go, right? You know, that's how they are.
Made with sandpaper. They're made with sandpaper.
That's how they are.
You know?
You know, the point, you know, and one of the big things with this is that, and I listened to a lot of stuff the next day, kind of some reactionary things from a lot of different people, right? The one that actually kind of stuck with me surprisingly the most was Bischoff's take on it, Eric Bischoff. Bischoff's had a very...
I can't stand Bischoff.
I understand. I know you can't, but he's had a very, shall we call it, dichotic relationship with AEW, if you want to put it that way. Yeah. Super critical of Tony Khan, but still shows up and appears on the show a few times and does some stuff for Chris Jericho and whatever. He said this, if that was not a work, because they said, what does Tony Khan do? He goes, if that was not a work, you fire CM Punk immediately. Like, you fire, he's like, it doesn't matter, you know. And he went deeper on that. And there's others that kind of had different takes on it. What we got to find out was this. Well, what did the Bucks really do? Or what did this happen? Or, you know, my take on it is this: AEW was doing fine, they weren't as, I mean, there was a bump with Pump. Let's be real, there was a bump, but they were still doing very good, winning. They won the Wednesday Night War, all that. Without CM Punk.
Yeah.
I think that the long game is always been the plan for them and should be the plan for them. great young independent talent, but you make into big stars. People like MJF, Jungle Boy, Darby Allin, Sammy Guevara, The Acclaimed, Private Party, Jade Cargill, Jade Cargill, so on and so forth, right? That's your foundation for the next 15 years instead of putting all your eggs in the CM Punk basket. So I say, and knowing Punk, you can very well just say F it and leave at any time, right?
Yeah. No. If Punk leaves tomorrow, I'm fine with it.
And if he doesn't leave tomorrow, because he tore his bicep or something in the match, by the way, and is having surgery.
But here's the thing, man. And this is the asshole in me.
Go for it. I'll take it.
There's a lot of money on the table. They gotta
use, everybody if they says
were
that.
Smart. If they were smart, these guys would bury it and be like, "This is a business opportunity, guys. Like, this is a huge business opportunity. We could make so much money off this."
I think everybody is in that agreement except for Punk, in my opinion. Yeah, well,
Punk's a piece of shit about it. Like,
Punk wants the money for himself.
I bet the Bucks would be like, "Dude, whatever. Why don't we use this?"
I've heard that
Matt Hardy. Edge and Matt Hardy did that. They squashed it and made money off of their issue, and it made both of them superstars afterwards. That feud took them to the next level because they used real life heat.
Talking about real life cheating and stuff, which led to yes, unbelievable. I've heard that the Bucks have already started shooting a bit for BTE based on this for next week. Next week's BTE is going to be wild. Mum's a word from AEW, right? Even on Dynamite, the names CM Punk, Young Bucks, Kenny Omega were not mentioned at all.
Yeah.
So.
At all. And they were taken out of the
graphic.
Graphics.
Which is understandable considering their position, especially because there's legal ramifications. Now, apparently the police weren't called in, but they are doing an independent third-party investigation in this, and there could potentially be charges brought up somehow. Whatever, right?
Yeah.
Sure. Everybody's suspended. The word is everybody's suspended except for Punk. We don't have the word on if Punk is officially suspended or not. He's getting surgery on whatever he tore, so it's a moot point in essence if he's suspended or not right now. They added to that later. So during the day, it was reported out by reputable sources, not that jackoff from Ringside's Nude who said that.
Yeah, we got that to come too.
SRS and Metzger and Meltzer and all the reputable sources all said that. Suspensions all around. Basically, if you were close to that room, you got suspended. Christopher Daniels got suspended. Nakazawa suspended. Cutler suspended. Young Bucks suspended. Kenny Omega suspended. Everybody gets it's like Oprah's handing out suspensions over here. You get a suspension and you get a suspension.
Yeah.
And we'll see where it goes from there. Now, you're right. And
there's reports of a third party investigation too. They're having outside.
That's why I said that.
Yeah. So this is my thought about that. Ace Steel's getting fired.
Oh, I have no doubt that Ace Steel's getting fired. He's the lowest man on this totem pole by far. He's gone.
He will be the example.
Yep.
And it's going to take a lot for Punk to come back, or Punk's gone too.
Well, everybody, and this has been corroborated by a bunch of people, that like the apparent climate backstage is that the backstage is pretty much universally against Punk.
Yeah.
He's gonna have to, and SRS's exact words that he tweeted out, and he said on Fightful Select, which is a great $5 a month, by the way, if you guys want the actual insider news, not bullshit made up by people. Hello, Wrestler Observer. Go check out SRS. I am no way affiliated with him whatsoever. I just think it's fantastic. He has a great journalistic job. He said that everybody backstage is pretty much universally behind or against Punk, and he's going to have to either be gone or make major amends. Bigger than he's ever made in his entire career or amends, which you and I know is not going to happen, right?
One thing about that man is he does not like to say he's wrong.
No.
So, you know what? Our listeners, our lovely listeners, all of you, once again, please like and subscribe. It really helps us out a lot. Subscribe, please. It helps. It helps a ton. What do you guys think? What do you all think about this whole situation? Like, is it blown out of proportion? Is it, do heads need to roll? Do cooler heads need to prevail? And so they can make a ton of money on this and possibly push AEW into the stratosphere? Because I do want to tie in a piece of Dynamite to this.
Well, let's go into it. Because the question is, of course, the real question is, where do you go from here? Because,
yeah,
so, A, how do you handle this? But also, where do you go from here? Because if you don't want your company to fold under this because of one man literally, like, punching holes in the bottom of your ship, where do you go? So what do you say, Jamie? Where do we go?
Yeah, so Tony had a huge opportunity to really get in front of it and address it.
Mm-hmm.
All he said was, we're vacating the titles. And that is probably due to the legal pieces, and I get that. I wish, you know, as a fan, I wish he would have hit it head on, but he probably can't speak about anything.
More than likely.
And that's fine. Like, legit, that's fine with me. This is a big opportunity for AEW because there's been lots of shots fired at AEW right now. Lots of shots.
I mean, there was the contract tampering thing with WWE. You got this. You know, mm-hmm. WWE's having a resurgence in quality, so now you got people going here and there. You got some contracts that are getting are expiring and people getting released from AEW. So, I mean,
yeah,
it's a tumultuous time. And the focus has been solely on CM Punk as an organization for the past 3 months.
Yeah. So this is a seminal moment. This is one of those things that they can do. They can go in multiple directions. They can grow from this, and then like the entire organization as a whole can come closer and grow together and maybe cut out the cancer.
Yeah.
Or they accept it and let the cancer grow and then they eventually die. You know, it's one of those things. Like, what happens over the next 30 to 90 days is gonna impact what happens with this company 10 years from now.
Yeah.
Like, and legit.
And their next pay-per-view is in November. So I think by the time we get to Full Gear, you know, we got in a couple weeks, we got the next big event, which is Grand Slam. Mm-hmm. You got Toronto shortly thereafter, big Canadian thing. And then in November, you've got their next pay-per-view. By November, I think we will have the answer to that question of where they are going to be. Are they going to continue to go along their same path? Are they going to capitalize? Because, I mean, I think that's really – I think there's three ways. I think that, like you said, they can capitalize on this and go forward. They can let it eat at them, retreat, and eventually wither away into fucking nothing. I don't think they'll ever fully die. But
no,
wither
away they won't into, die, but they won't
– wither away into, like, insignificance. Or do they just kind of just run the ship and just keep going kind of where they're at now and just stay going straight? Which is neither good nor bad. I don't know. That's my belief. Those are the three options for going forward.
Yeah, and so Tony had an opportunity to do something, and he didn't necessarily take it. But two of the locker room leaders did, and I do want to give them both their flowers.
Yeah, please do.
So Moxley came out after MJF came out trying to do babyface thing. MJF's
promo was so good too, dude.
MJF, oh my God.
MJF was glorious.
I missed MJF. MJF is my spirit animal, and I hope he stays with AEW forever and they pay him all the monies.
There's no way he didn't sign an extension.
Right?
He has to have signed an extension for a shitload of money. He has to.
And they let him just get away with talking about Nick Khan and Triple H and all that. But anyway.
I mean, that's good TV. That's great. It is. I would tell him to do that if he wouldn't do it.
But Moxley's promo.
Oh, that was almost better.
I legit almost got chills because of what it really meant. What he was talking about wasn't him. It was talking about the boys in the back, the women in the back, the entire locker room. We could be legends right now. Mm. We can move on and we can do these things because we live and breathe this. I'm like, oh my God. Like, he is talking, he's giving the locker room a pep talk, basically saying, fuck Punk, let's ride. Broncos country, let's ride. Sorry. I've been saying that a lot lately, making fun of Broncos fans. So if you're a Broncos fan, fuck you.
I like the Broncos. I got my Orange Crush Shannon Sharpe jersey in the room. I'll go put it on.
That's great. One of the most overrated tight ends of all time.
That's okay. He's got more Super Bowl rings than Patrick Mahomes, but whatever.
That's fair. That's fair.
By one. But still, anyway. I'm a Steelers fan at heart. I just like doing it because it really gets the Chief fans. They're like, how could you like the Broncos? It's like, well, I didn't grow up near either of you, so who cares?
But anyway, so his promo, it gave me chills because it gave me hope. It gave me hope. And then on the flip side, you had a very subtle, calculated Chris Jericho.
Jericho's was smart. I caught it. I got notes here. I definitely caught it.
Because I had to watch his again. Because he was talking about everything. And then he goes, I'm not going to let that happen. It's my locker room. And then you knew exactly what that was talking about. Again, 100%. Like, these guys did a fabulous job. Fabulous job of addressing it without addressing it. And giving us fans comfort that it's going to continue and things are going to grow. Well, like,
The reoccurring theme I felt from Dynamite last night, as well as those two promos, and there was a talent meeting, and if I was anybody even remotely close to Tony Khan, I would have made sure that talent meeting was run by Moxley, Jericho, and Danielson by far. Right? Yep. This is who you listen to. These guys right here. Right? And the tournament, I agree with you. The legal ramifications probably kept him from being big boy. Tony Khan himself doesn't like the spotlight to be on him anyway. He has severe social anxiety. He hates even talking in front of people, right? So for him to even do that video was fine. I think it was good that he was forcefully said that due to some unfortunate situations, I've had to vacate the trios and the world title. So he did say that it was, I had to take it from him, which is like, that's the minimum. If they would have gone with interim bullshit, you would have lost your stuff.
Yeah, I would have been so pissed. Yeah.
But he's like, nope, they're vacated. And I'm like, that's the minimum. That's what you had to do. And he did that. I'm good with that. And I think that you look at the replacement they did for the AEW title, right? It's easy. Mm-hmm. You could have just been Moxley. You get it. You get it because you were second in line. Boom, there you go. Right? But he's like, we're gonna do a tournament, short tournament, gonna end in 2 weeks. Gonna be a championship match at Grand Slam. Who's in the tournament? Jericho, Moxley, Danielson, Hangman, Adam Page, Sammy Guevara, Darby Allin. Two pillars, potentially three, if you want to call Hangman a pillar. I don't know. But two pillars and three former AEW champions and Bryan Danielson.
Mm-hmm. Who looked phenomenal, by the way.
Basically, we're taking the belt. We're taking the strap. We're taking the gold. And whoever is on the front of every single promotional piece of material that we do as a company, and I'm putting it on somebody I trust to be that trusted, respectable one, right? Because you had your world champion dog the shit out of everybody, cussing up a storm, you know, just going to town. And now you put it on Danielson, you put it on Moxley, you put it on back on or you put it on Danielson or Jericho.
Jericho.
I kind of think of it like you put it on, because it's gonna be one of those three, let's be real. But you put it on one of those three, and now you can go in front and you can go back to HBO and be like, no, see, this is my champion. This is my guy. You know him. He is just as good as CM Punk, if not better, being the representation of my company. Smart.
Yeah. And he's corporate. He'll sing the song.
I'd rather.
He's a good guy.
I'd rather get like Kingston versus Miro or something like that, right? Sure. But that's the mark in me. That's the fan. AEW, they need to, because that's the whole thing. Maybe he does realize this, but the biggest thing to me, besides just the instability that he created, Punk did with that promo, and the way he's been probably for the past few months. I mean, that deal with HBO is not finalized. We all assume it is. And it's probably, the ink's probably, you know, still drying on the first print of it, right? You know, but it's not done deal. And that's what we need. We need that to get a separate ROH TV deal, right? We need that for a lot of things. So, you know, he puts that in jeopardy. So you've got to put that belt on somebody's staple.
Yeah, and the funny thing is Moxley is supposed to take some time off.
Yeah, yeah.
He even said, he's like, I wasn't even supposed to be here until 2 days ago, which that was his little shade at everything.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, this is one of the things, too, that you and I talked about this.
We made this earlier today, we talked.
And we even had this conversation with a third person as well. But it's not always about who we want to see with the belt, like, so here's the thing. We wanted Hangman to get the belt, right?
We did.
We wanted it. But does Hangman move merch? Does he fill seats?
Was he as good with the belt as he was going for it, right? Same thing with Thunder Rosa.
No, yeah. I mean, you have to think about somebody who got the chase and once they got it, continued that level. And that's Bryan Danielson.
I'm 100% with you.
The Yes Movement. Everybody remembers the Yes Movement. Like, that was the one of the ultimate chases of all time to get to the mountaintop, got the mountaintop, and stayed there. Most of the time, they go back down. You know, Hanger went back down. It's also because how they booked him and everything, and I get that. That wasn't 100% his fault.
Yeah, yeah.
And he lost to Bryan Danielson on Dynamite anyway, you know? So Danielson has moved on, but, like, you have Moxley, you have Jericho, and you have Danielson. All these guys who are draws, they fill seats.
Yep.
All three of them. People go to see Jericho. I go see Jericho because I don't see a goddamn lion tamer. And I've seen a lot of them lately, and it's made me very happy. You know?
Mm-hmm.
That's why, like, I've been kind of laying low on the lion tamer stuff lately because I'm getting it on
the regular basis. One for a victory, for God's sake, from Jericho.
Yeah, like, I'm good. Like, I mean, I want to see one live for a victory. No, but that will happen.
You're placated. You're not good. You're placated for now.
Yeah, I'm satisfied. You know, I'm good for right now. You know, the hunger is gone now. You know, I could still eat, but I don't want to, you know. But the thing is, they have these pillars who are draws, and they need to put the belt on a draw right now. And then when Adam Cole gets healthy, he's a draw. He gets people in the seats. Omega does too, you know. Like, they got all these things, you know, for them. They just have to be smart about it right now and put it on people who put fans in the stands. Like, that's the thing. They have to use that wisely.
They need to do it wisely. They need to do it quickly as well, which I'm glad that's going to be resolved.
It looks like it.
Also, I was saying, in the next 2 weeks, because 2 weeks from last night, we'll, in two shows from now, we'll be talking about who that new champion is, right? So, good on them for not just, you know, now the Trios title, they did have a match on the show they had, because Alex Reynolds got legit injured. So Dark Order is, like, seriously depleted, right? So they had the Best Friends going up against Death Triangle. Death Triangle won in an amazing match that featured a triple Canadian Destroyer.
Yeah, which Nyla Rose said next week they're in Toronto. Like, do they call them
next week they're in Albany? No, next week they're in Albany.
Oh, we're like, well, when they do their Canadian run, like,
yeah, do we call them normal Destroyers or
yeah, is it local Destroyers or just Destroyers? Like, what do we call them? Like, because, you know, they're good in Canada.
But so, it was so good. So they took care of the Trios title immediately, but they're giving the right. I feel like, as you said, they're doing it right and they're doing it quick. And if it's up to me, because whoever comes out of Darby and Sammy, they're not being John Moxley. I'm sorry. Especially after that promo he gave. Moxley might not win the belt, but he'll definitely be in the finals in New York, right? 100%.
Yeah.
I think it should be Danielson. And here's why I say that. Too. We've seen we've seen Moxley, we've seen Danielson, Jericho already a few times recently, but we've seen, you know, Moxley, Jericho. And that's a big draw, yes. But we saw once the formation of the BCC, Moxley versus Danielson. Now seeing them inside the thing. It's like, we're brothers, but we're going to kill each other to get this belt. And I think Danielson earns that. He's only one of the major players that's not been an AEW world champion. And to your point, he got through the Yes Movement and they sold more stuff. They sold more tickets and more shirts and more, you know, buys because of that. He is literally the anti-CM Punk, the indie darling who busted his butt but wasn't given anything and had to earn it despite being told he wasn't going to make it the entire way up the rung, right? Mm-hmm. And once he got to the top, he spread that wealth and that knowledge to those peers that he left behind, right? He is the... If you want to get away from this whole thing, you give it to the most unpunk person you could, which is probably Bryan Danielson.
That's my exact same thoughts.
Yeah.
He is the polar opposite of Punk, and he is the hero. He is the hero AEW needs right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
100%.
Now, I know story-wise, it makes more sense for Moxie to win it, and then you have set up for, you know, MJF, who's got his, you know, free card, you know, for a ticket, you know, to take it away from Moxie.
Very apparent.
Yeah. Oh, that promo was so good, though.
I miss him.
I know. I am happy he's back. I loved how he came out for the first 10 minutes. It was all like being super face MJF wearing the Josh Allen hilarious jersey. And
my favorite was like, I'm better than you. And he held it out and looked, you know.
And you like, know what? Yeah. Yeah. And he even called like the fat girl the elephant in the second round. I'm just kidding, darling. I'll see you later, you know?
It's I'll see you after the show, you know? Yeah.
The show itself, though, besides that, I felt it did a good course correction as well by getting back to what AEW does well. That's not booking two women's matches. No. Two women's, you with all this extra shit, you could have put a second women's match in the fucking show, Tony. You could have done it.
No, they decided they needed to make sure Wardlow had a squash match and said all this internet buzz about him. Like, what internet buzz about him?
I think that's what it was. No internet buzz about him, and that was a problem, you know. Put the onus on a TNT title. I think I understand that point, but come on, man. Like, we just talked about this last week going into All Out. We didn't going against Machine Guns, and Jay Lethal is a way to get him over without. And then you go immediately back to Squash Match City. Whatever. Besides that, you had what AEW started on, which was, we're just going to do the best goddamn wrestling matches we can do, right? This is a wrestling show. And the women's match, even though it was only singular, there was one, it was a good one. Penelope Ford,
really good,
going up against Toni Storm, looked great. You had the trios match like I talked about. Just the fucking spot fest city. Loved every second of it.
It was a spot fest.
Danielson and
Danielson Hangman was a pay-per-view quality match. That was a pay-per-view quality match.
That was. And the last two matches were long ones, too. So you had that one, and then you had the main event.
Oh, yeah.
Main event was the Jamie Hardon match. It was the ROH pure title match between Daniel Garcia and Wheeler Yuta. We've seen that before, yes, but my God. My God, this match.
Same result. this match was so damn good. Wheeler Yuta was amazing. Daniel Garcia gets the ROH Pure Rules title in his hometown.
His hometown.
People went nuts. Bryan Danielson comes out, puts the belt on his around his waist, shakes his hand as Jericho comes out. So they still got that beef. He's going to the BCC, man. I don't care what anybody says. That's the play. That's where he belongs.
He belongs there, and Jamie Hayter belongs in the BCC, too. They did
have the split with Britt.
Well, they did a bunch of little quick promos, which we're not going to go over all. But they did a bunch of little quick promos. But the one that we liked, both of us specifically, was, it was the backstage kind of promo post-match where where Britt's hanging out in the backstage area, and she's in the hallway, and she's looking around for somebody. Here comes Jamie walking by with her suitcase and everything, and she's just like, I'm not talking to you! No, 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 just mad as hell because, you know, Britt Baker cost Jamie the title. She had flat out won and cost her that title on Sunday. So that split is happening, I think, for sure. And, yeah, put Jamie in the BCC. Let's do that.
Well, and the thing, too, with that, like, for me, was... It gives Britt something to do that's not going for a title.
Yeah.
Gives her a storyline outside of it. The one that we've been clamoring for, because Jamie Hayter versus Britt Baker. Yes, please.
Give me like, that.
Give me that twice on Sunday.
Right. To your point about like why the Bucks and Omega shouldn't have won the Trios title. They don't need it. Britt doesn't need the title, right? You can put her in a match. It's still going to be a draw, right? And that match will draw. And
you
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was like, yeah, because, like, what were they going to do to Jamie Hayter? Like, my thought was, okay, Jamie Hayter said she lost. Maybe she goes for the TBS title. But then they do this. I'm like, ooh, I like this so much better.
I like this a lot more. I think it also opens up a door. That, you know, we don't know when Thunder Rosa's coming back, right? She get it was back or was it, is her back was all jacked up? Or,
back.
Yeah, I think, back. Yeah, back. Who knows, right? So she could be gone for a couple of weeks, could be a few months. We don't know. But... you know, that gives you the opportunity to do something else with Toni Storm, right? Statlander's out. She just had surgery yesterday, you know. But you got Nyla Rose sitting there with nobody to face. You know, her and Maria Shafir have been teaming up, become this really entertaining tag team. Everybody hates on Maria Shafir. I like her and Nyla Rose together as a unit, though. So you've got that you could put out there. You've got other things, you know. There's possibilities now you could do with this. Now, it requires more than one match a week. I'm just saying, Tony. But there's possibilities. Valid. And we'll did announce one other match for Grand Slam. It is like he teased on the presser, the rematch between Swerve and Our Glory and the Acclaimed.
Thank God. And honestly... with how hot that Chicago crowd was how hot that New York crowd was, it's got to go to the Acclaimed. They are so over right now.
Oh, and they're from New York.
Yeah.
Well, at least Caster is. I'm not 100% sure about Bones. Bones doesn't live there anymore.
No, he lives out in L.A., I think.
He might be from New York, though, I think, maybe. I know Caster's from New York. That's where, you know, that's where he grew up. Anyway. They got to give it to him there. They have to. It's time for the Acclaimed.
They're so over. Everybody loves the Acclaimed. Yes, we do. I've loved them since day one. I love the heel version of them. I like the face version of them. Daddy Ass. Whose house is it? It's Daddy Ass's house. That's whose it is. But no, I mean, there's that. And there was more news that you had that you wanted to talk about too, wasn't there?
So, okay. Mixed amongst all this was some very interesting stuff going on with the House of Black and with Malakai. So after the House of Black lost their match, which was a very good match the way they did it. You know, it didn't make anybody look bad. Okay. Sting had Black Mist and missed it out. Malakai got rolled up by Darby. There's your pin. Afterwards, what we didn't see on the pay-per-view is they were all being very emotional at the ringside, walked out to get up the ramp together. Malakai did a big bow to the crowd. And the report as of earlier this week, as far as we know it, from trusted sources, the report is that Malakai has been granted a conditional release from his AEW contract. He asked, apparently... this is what SRS said. Apparently he asked and was told no at first, and then they did grant him a conditional release. No details at all about that. The rumor mill on it is spinning furiously. And for the most part, from everybody that I've read as reputable, all seems to point the finger in the same thing. This is a good way for them to give him extended time off and still be able to come back into the company. So it might not be farewell to Malakai Black. It's just bye for now is what it feels like, at least at this moment. And why he wanted that is not clear. I've heard some people say it's because he's had back issues. He's, you know, just in, like walking pain. Most people say, though, it's for mental health reasons. He wanted to take a mental health. He's getting checked out. He's just checking out. He just needs a break from all this. He's got other stuff that he's doing he wants to focus on, specifically being around his wife. For what? Which I can empathize with, you know. I can't.
Who's not being used right now at all? Again,
exactly. Shocker. Which that might play into mental issues, maybe. You know, there's marital issues that, you know, his wife is getting dogged again. So, anywho, House of Black's going to look different now. Or I hope they continue on with the House of Black. I think Brody's shown in the past month that he can lead that, right? Him and Buddy are still great together. Julia, we've had more praise than anybody on the roster for lately.
Her theme song, I love it. And like, I listened to it just the other day, just by itself. Like, it's so good.
Went out on a limb and downloaded. It took some Googling, but I found Malachi's theme, and oh my God, it's so dark and glorious. But it sucks because I love the House of Black in total. I love Malachi. I love him as Tommy End, as Aleister Black, whatever. I like him as a character. You know, he is a fantastic wrestler. That perfect mix of technical flippy spinny. Love it, you know. But gotta get right. So, man, it's just things happening all over the place, left and right here.
Yeah, like we said, AEW is at a point now. There's a lot of different ways it can go, and I really hope my heart of hearts believes that they will right the ship. I think they got good people there, and I think Tony finally got over just booking what he liked and started booking what makes money. So
hopefully that continues. That's the point, you know. Tony's been booking as a fan, I think, a little bit too much, and he needs to take a step back from it there. And, you know, if that's inviting more people into the mix to kind of help with this creative process, I don't want to see them go like WWE creative team bullshit. But, you know, with everything being the wrestler's ideas and Tony's head, it was bound to run to a brick wall at some point in time.
Yeah. And I mean, and Jericho's been a big voice lately, too. And, like, you can see some changes there. You can definitely see changes in the women's side, you know, since Regal showed up.
And like, Madison Rain.
And Madison Rain, yes, absolutely. Got to give her some praise. You know, it's just one of those things. It's going to take a little bit of time. 90 days. Hopefully we see what direction this company is going in. I really hope it's going to do what we want it to do. And frankly, I hope Punk's gone.
Mm-hmm. I tend to think he's gone. Whether that's a gracious bow out or a steaming, you know, flaming plane into the Atlantic, I think he's gone.
They need to get in front of it and say they fired him. Because then he'll spin it like he did last time.
Yep. So let's see what happens with that. All right. Any other thoughts you had about Dynamite, AEW, GCW, WWE, Impact, anything wrestling at all?
No, just it was a killer week. Fireworks.
Which is amazing because it's like sandwiched in all this was a lot of good wrestling. And I think that to me was my big takeaway. At the end of the day, when I got done watching Dynamite last night, I go, this reminds me of the Dynamites that I saw 2 years ago, right?
That I fell in love with the show.
That we were like, hey, we might not have a lot of connective tissue, but we're going to give you banger match after banger match. Go enjoy, right? That's what this felt like, which I don't think is a bad thing right now.
No, yeah, they need that. They need that reset. I agree. That.
Cool. Well, you guys let us know what you think. As I said, give a comment, give us a tweet. Give us your thoughts. Is AEW going the right direction? Are they doing the right things? Are you still on? Is anybody still on Punk's ship besides Ace Steel? That's what I want to know. And Larry.
And Larry.
Poor Kenny Omega, man. Gets bit trying to protect the dog. I hope that part is true. I honestly, God, hope that, if nothing else, that little snippet that, oh, you know, he was just trying to protect the dog and got bit in the middle. I hope that's true. because that's fantastic.
Yeah, he tried to get the dog out, got the dog out, and so tried good. To split Nick and them right after and got bit by a skill.
So, I hope that's true. All right, well, that's what we got here. Keep an eye out. Like I said, we talked about it earlier. We had a great interview with Darian Bankston. Who knows? Maybe we'll see you on Dynamite here in a few months.
God, I'd love never to see you on Dynamite. He's so damn good.
He's gonna have a contract very soon. We know that. He will.
Yeah. Soon. Yeah. Out of everybody that we know, I would say him and Justin and, you know, Kenny continues getting his name out there. It'd be one of those three.
Yep. I think him and Justin first, and then Kenny, because Kenny just needs a little bit more national exposure. He'll get there. He's got the skill.
He's starting to, like, he got on Terminus and everything. Like, he can right. just continue building his brand. Like, people will love him.
Brick by brick, get your way up there. Just don't become CM Punk once you get there. So, I hate to be like this, but I kind of told you, so. No, I don't. Yeah. No. I kind of told you so. Then I, yeah.
Yeah, you did.
I hoped I was wrong, and we'll see. We'll see about that. So we'll be back next week, same bad time, same bad channel, see what goes on. By the end of next week, we should know who's going to be the ones. We should have most of the cards set for, I was going to say Gangs of New York. That's not right. Grand Slam. I don't know why my brain is just not working.
Dude, that'd be great if it was called Gangs of New York and they had a big match, like a 10-man tag team.
Full Gear's in Newark this year, Newark, New Jersey, you know.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, did you miss that? And yeah, they announced that during the pay-per-view. It's in Newark. It's not in St. Louis. Yeah, they're having it at wherever the Devils play hockey at, you know.
Oh, okay.
We're the Devils. We're number one.
We're the Devils. Prudential Center. Yeah. So anyway, yeah, it's going to be in there. So it's outside New York. That would be a fantastic, like a weapons cage match. Gangs of New York.
It would be great.
We'll have an idea next week, though, about the card, everything. We'll also should get more announcements for Journey Pro. We'll give you guys an update as well, because I know, like I said, neither of us have the belt anymore. The tyrant known as Megan is our new Total Spot Fest champion. Congratulations, Megan. You know, our next pay-per-view, probably going to be Bound for Glory. So we'll circle back and talk about some Impact. Impact's been steady solid. You know, last couple months. I haven't been catching all of them, but I've been keeping up with everything that's been going on, and it's been pretty damn good. So, definitely worth a try there. I know Kazarian's been doing stuff inside of Impact as well, too. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. Not to mention the Machine Guns were part of, you know, All Out. So, there's definitely been good, working relationship between AEW and Impact, which I'd like to see more of that too. So, but yeah. I'd like to see a Ring of Honor TV show, but hey, one day we'll get everything we want, right?
Yes.
All right. So stay tuned. We'll see you guys next week. Jamie, if you got nothing else, man, take us home.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, if you're not down to a Spot Fest, I got 5 words for you. Whose house? Daddy Ass's house.
Scissor me on the way out.
I don't know which way you
are. We are not doing this right at all. All right, guys. We'll see you next time.
Peace.